Automated backups are a very important part of maintaining your Azure SQL database or Azure SQL Managed Instance. In this video, we'll dive into the various options that are available and some of the details surrounding them. Tune in to this episode of Data Exposed. Hi, I'm Anna Hoffman, and welcome to this episode of Data Exposed. In the previous episode, we took a part one look at the story for Azure SQL automated backups, looking at point-in-time restore, long-term retention, and geo-restore use cases and capabilities. In this episode, Treya is going to dive deeper into how to actually configure these things and use them in the case of an emergency or some other situation. With that, I'll pass it over to you, Treya.
Now, let's look at a quick demo of all of these type of restores and backups that are available to you in Azure. And you can see that I have three servers created, and one in East US, other one is West US, and in Brazil, South, in three different regions. So I'm going to go to the server created in US West here real quick. And you can see that I have three databases hosted on this server. And let's look at a quick demo of point-in-time restore, how you can run point-in-time restore for one of the databases here. So I go to the database there, and in the overview tab, I can see the different details of this database, and I click on restore here. So when I click on restore, it takes me to this restore blade, and it tells me that this is a point-in-time restore. I can click here and select a long-term backup retention restore also if I have configured LDR backups on my database. And then it tells me to pick a time, date and time. And it shows me the database name. So it picks the database name based on the time that we have picked here for restore. But I can also change this database name, and I call it no error, because this is when I know that there was no error in my database. So let's say I deleted a table accidentally yesterday at about 2 p.m. So I want to restore to 1:59 p.m., right? A minute before I made the mistake. So I pick the date, I pick the time, I call it AdventureWorks no error, and then it has picked the slow and size or number of cores based on what I had on my original database. And it's not an elastic pool. I'm just going to say review and create here. Click review and create, and then I just go ahead and create. And this will start the restore process for me. Point-in-time restore process for me, right? Now, while this is running, because this will take a few minutes to run. So while this is running, what we do is we go back to our servers here, and I'll show you how you can also run LTR backup, LTR restore on your database. Let's look at a demo for that. So I pick another database here for which I know I have configured long-term retention backups. So I click on restore again, and instead of picking point-in-time restore, this time I'm going to pick long-term retention, backup retention, and it shows me the backups that are available to me based on the retention period that I have set up for this database. We'll see how you can look at the retention period later in the demo, but based on the retention period that I have set up, I have these backups available to me. So let's say I want to go back to the oldest backup that is available to me, which is this one. So I click on that, and then I call it oldest LTR available to me. And so I can change the name of the database here. I pick the time, I change time, and then I click on review and create. And I start creating the database. So this has queued my point-in-time retention restore and my LTR restore on my database, on my server here, right?
Awesome. Now, hey, Treya, very interesting how you have to, pick a new name for your database. I think oftentimes our on-prem folks are used to, when you do a point-in-time restore, you kind of replace the database. Here, is there an extra step I need to do in order to get back to running?
Yeah, so a good question. And what happens is we don't restore it in the same database, or we don't restore with the same name, because we do not want to, you know, alter anything with the database which is running right now, which is already running. So what we do is we restore it into another database with a new name. And once the restore is complete, and once the users have verified that their database restore is what they were looking for, they can change the connection string in their application to now connect to the new database that they have restored. Yeah. And that way their application can now start pointing to the new database, right? Now going back to, while this is both of these, we can see that both this point in time restore and LTR are still running. So while this is running, what I'll do is I'll quickly show you the geo restore, how you can run a geo restore on your server. So let's assume that US West 2, where I created my server here, this region is down. And now I want to restore in another region. So I have this server created in Brazil South, which I believe will be will not be used that much, as much as, you know, some of the US regions. So I go there, and I want to create a new database and restore from a backup that is available to me. So I click on create database there, and I enter a database name. So what I'm going to do is I'll say wild world importers restore. Actually, it will just pick up the name from the restore of the backup. And then instead of clicking on review and create or creating a database, I go to additional settings tab here. And in this additional settings tab, it lets me pick a data source. This data source could be some existing data backup or a sample. So I'm going to say backup here. And when I click here on the backup, it starts loading all the backups, geo-replicated backups that are available to me in my subscription, right? So here the subscription that I am using that has a lot of backups available, I'll go and look at the backup that I'm trying to restore. So once it loads here, we'll see a full entire list of all the backups that are available to us. So I'm going to use an existing backup to restore the database. And when I click on backup here, I see a list, and this is the database that I want to restore, list available in my subscription, and this is the database that I want to restore. So I click on the database. I say okay to pick the same compute and storage settings that are there in the original database. And I click on a review and create here. And it just shows me that it is going to restore in Brazil South, and this is the name of the database. And I'm going to hit create here. And this starts the restore process for me in a different region.
So Shreya, this is really interesting, this geo restore. I don't think I've actually ever done one of these before. When it kicks off and when the backup that I'm using, did I have to set up those backups to be, you know, globally replicated storage so that I could kind of restore them like this, or how does that kind of work?
So the backups, SQLDB and Managed Instance Backups, they are stored on a RAGRS account, which means a geo-redundant storage account. So you do not have to set up anything for those backups. We take care of replicating them in a pair geo region so that they are available to you whenever Azure region is down, and you can, you know, restore from those backups in a different region altogether.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that. That's awesome. Makes it very easy to recover from some sort of disaster. You know, I don't have to configure anything.
Yeah, that's the point, actually. So we make it easy for the customers by, you know, replicating them on a geo region so that recovery from a disaster is easier for them.
Now, you know, while this is running, because I think it's probably going to take a few moments to restore a database all the way to Brazil South, but you know, with all of these backups, and, you know, it seems like there's a lot of things going on. Is cost a concern? Is there a way I can kind of monitor or manage the cost of these backups?
That's a very good question. So while this is running, let's quickly go back to my slides here, and I can show you how customers can look at different metrics that we have available for backups, and also how they can look at their storage costs for backup. right? So on portal here, when you click go on a database, you can at the bottom of the pane here, you have metrics, database metrics available to you. When you click on these metrics, along with other metrics that are available for the database, there are three backup metrics which are available to the users, which is differential backup storage size, full backup storage size, and log backup storage size. So they can come here, click or configure these metrics for the database, and I mean, click on these metrics, and they can see the storage size for the differential, full, and log backups, the storage utilization. Now, to look at how much their storage actually costs for this backup, what they can do is they can, in their subscription, the Azure subscription that they have, they can go to the cost analysis tab in that Azure subscription on portal. And in that cost analysis tab, you can actually look at the different metrics for storage size costs that you have. So you have to pick service name, SQL database, and then a meter category here, meter subcategory. It could be a point in time restore storage or LTR restore subcategory, and it will show you the storage costs for your database for any month that you ask for, previous month or the current month. It could also, you know, in some cases, it also does forecasting for that. So you can come here and look at those. Now let's go back to our portal here, and let me show you real quick how you can actually look at your backups, because I said that in the beginning that I will show you how you can look at your backups here. So let's go to my server here real quick, and I click on Manage Backups here. So when I click on Manage Backups here, it shows me all the databases that are available on my server, and all the different backup policies that I have configured on these databases. So it shows that all of these databases have some bitter backup policies, like AdventureWorks only has 1 day of point in time retention. The others have 7 days. And I have two databases for which I have configured LTR backup policy. And these LTR backup policies show here. So now let's say I want to change these LTR backup policies, or I want to configure LTR backup for this database here, for which I do not have. I can click on the database here. I can click on configure retention, and I can come and change the point in time restore configuration from here, from anywhere between 1 to 35 days. Or I can also change the long-term retention configuration. So I can say I want to take weekly LTR backups once every week, and first week of the month, and then I want to retain it. First week of the month, I want to retain it for, let's say, 10 years, right? So I go and say that, sorry, here, and then I can click on apply. And this will start applying those new LTR backup policies for my database. So after the first full backup is taken, that first full backup will be copied as my long-term retention backup, and then that LTR backup will be available to me. And to look at the available LTR backups for my databases, I can come in this tab, available long-term retention backups, and then I can click on one of these databases here. And then this shows me that these are the LTR backups available to me. So I can look at my LTR backups and I point bitter backup policies from there.
So by looking at both the metrics and kind of the cost management or the amount of storage and kind of configuring my managed backups here, that's how I can kind of optimize my costs versus how long I want to keep this stuff around. Because if I keep it around longer, that's going to mean more storage costs.
Exactly. So now it looks like our point in time restore and LTR did finish. So let's come back to the server here, and I clicked on overview, and you can see that the databases that we restored, AdventureWorks, no error. This was the bitter point in time restore that we ran, and this was the LTR long-term retention restore that we ran. Both of them have finished. Both of the databases are available to me now. They are in online state here. So now I can start running my queries on these databases because they are available to me. If I want to, let's say, fail over to this database from my original database, I can do that also. Now customers can change the connection string and just start pointing their application to this database. So that is also possible. All right, so now let's look at notifications here to see whether our GeoRestore finished, and looks like it has finished here. So let's go to the server, the Brazil server that I had where I ran the GeoRestore. And we come here and we see that the GeoRestore that I ran for this database, this one has finished, and this database is online now and available to use. So customers can, I can connect my application to this by using this connection string and start using this database.
Awesome, thanks Rhea. I mean, in this video, you know, you kind of shown us a lot of things from point in time restore for mistakes or even deleted databases to long-term retention for databases up to 10 years, even for a server I might've deleted, all the way through GeoRestore, which really doesn't require any setup and is kind of the cheapest option in the case of a, you know, disaster. So thanks so much for joining us today, Shreya. We're going to put a bunch of links for our viewers in the description tab. So we encourage you to go learn more. And if you like this video, please like this video or subscribe to our channel or comment on which way you're using automatic backups today. Thanks for joining us this week on Data Exposed.
Thank you, Anna, and thanks for having me again.